Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
Hey, Sean, what's up, buddy?
Hello, Todd. How's it going, my friend?
It's great to see you once again. We're a little late today. You know, we're a little late today. No big deal. We did a long $20 chef cook-off for anybody who didn't get to see that. We put it out to the public just as a teaser to let you know what happens on Patreon that doesn't happen anywhere else. And it was fucking – we had some musicians show up. Clayton Anderson
played some songs.
Yeah. And your boy
Mike Dirt showed up to the live feed.
Come on.
I mean, Green Day rolled in, bro.
No big deal.
What
Green
a
Day.
Flex on the first one. It's all downhill from here.
It was pretty badass.
Mike Dirt hung out with us on a live stream. I'll tell you what, I love doing that with you, like, because you're so funny and like just random shit, and then just going from camera to camera and fucking around and having fun with Jarrett was involved.
It's a blast.
And it's fun. You know what else I like about doing it is that it doesn't, like, I don't get wrapped up in how many people are watching or not watching.
Right.
Because you're across so many of the platforms. We did it on every single one. Twitch, two different YouTubes, couple different Facebooks.
Right.
A couple different, you know, Twitters. So that was just really fun. And I probably should have taken a few less shots of tequila. Not going to lie.
Hey, it was a big night.
Fell off a cliff there at the end. But you know what?
That might be why we're
already gone home.
Yeah. I mean, that's just what happens. It's like a late show sometimes. Late show Saturday. Sometimes you just let it eat. But that's why we're recording a little later today. We let you rest up after that. And plus, I had fucking people over, and I was like, shit, I've got to cook. I've got to get some shit done. And I leave for Kansas City. So if you're listening to this later today or early on Friday, then you know what? I'll be in Kansas City if you're near there for Friday night and Saturday night. And then when I get back, I got to roll with my boy, Sean, to Florida for some ACL action. Dude.
Yeah, we got ACL, their first weekend of the year, their first big championships of the year. They got four big events. This is their first one down in Florida, Super Bowl weekend. It's going to be great, dude. You got all the best players in the world, but then we got to do all this extra fun content, you know, for streaming.
It's going to be shit hot. I mean, I can't wait.
Yeah.
And I don't
I'm
mean
ready
just
to take over their outdoor courts.
Oh, yeah, dude. And I feel bad because then I get a chance to practice, but oh, well, it'll come back.
Yeah.
Get a
I think we'll have plenty of time.
Beforehand. Yeah.
Yeah. In between all the broadcasts and everything going on, we're going to be outside on the grill cooking some Johnsonville sausages.
What?
And playing cornhole, talking shit, having a good time on the live streams.
Man,
just hanging out with the ACL, man. We're getting into the professional cornhole world, Todd. People have to understand that that's what we do, okay? We're building partnerships.
Bro, what if we practice and practice and practice and can it actually become competitive? You're already getting close to there. I just never practice anymore. But when I practiced up, I'm pretty fucking good at it for a hack.
Yeah.
I want to know if I really put in the time, got a trainer.
Yeah.
There's got to be trainers, right? Cornhole trainers?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean,
it's a professional
sport. I can name a couple of pros right now that'd probably do that.
Right? Ooh.
But you know what? If we actually, you know what would be, here's a dream sequence. Here's a dream scenario for you and I.
Okay.
We start working 40 hours a week on our bag game, right?
Right.
We're waking up, dude. We're stretching out. We're having a healthy breakfast. We're out there on the cornhole courts, cocktail in hand. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then we're putting in that 8-hour day, full work.
Full work.
Good, strong year, just hunkered down, putting in the work, becoming students of the game, and just rise to the top. We get to the finals in Philly at the end of the year. Singles, men's pro singles.
Come on.
We both work our way up through the brackets. and we end up on the ESPN featured championship game, Men's American Cornhole League, iPlayCornhole.com, World Championships. Todd McComas faces Sean Latham.
Brother on
epic
brother.
Epic battle. On brother versus brother on ESPN, it's, for all the marbles.
It's the cornhole version of Warrior. The two brothers make it to the finals, and they've got to go against each other, and they're crying at the end. Oh, my God.
That last airmail to sink it. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Todd. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Drop an airmail with fucking drag two bags in and push a bag off of the other of yours. Oh, man.
That would be fucking awesome. Oh, my God. Just,
that would be amazing, bro. And you know what? Honestly, my favorite thing I want to do with eventually with that, because you have all these streaming shows for the, around their big events, you know, is I want to do one where it's like a blueprint of the perfect cornhole body. And I'm going to use my outline of my body and I'm going to stick my stomach out more, you know, it's even perfect. More than it already sticks out.
It's perfect.
And then I want it to break down like the science with like little spinny things and all like the blueprint look and how it helps like... I'll just do a full, we could just do a full segment on about having a, this style stomach helps you, you know, like, this is the reason why the great players are great.
Wow.
Is that belly with the center of gravity that they bring, you know, like you just make this whole scientific shit up about having a fat body that makes you perfect for cornhole.
I love it. I love it. You know what else I was thinking too, while we're just workshopping? I have so much fun doing the $20 Chef live show with all the switching and different cameras and stuff. It makes me want to, maybe we could design some kind of like game show for Patreon members that everybody can watch it, but Patreon members qualify to be contestants. Ooh. And it's you and me somehow with a game show with the different contestants. And then Jarrett can run the show and bring them up full screen when it's their turn to answer or whatever. And then we have to, we'll either make fun of their answer or, you know, whatever, whatever we come up with. But wouldn't that be cool to do? And kind of easy.
We could, well, we had that name I called us the other day is Who Doesn't Want to Be a Millionaire?
Oh, yeah.
Because that maybe that's how we do it. Something along those lines, you know, because we're not winning shit. You know, you might win a hat. Like we could just give away a piece of merch to the winner, you know?
I love it. I love it. And maybe you, because it's Who Doesn't Want to Be a Millionaire, maybe it's like we're looking for the worst possible answer to that question or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The worst answer is the best answer. So actually when you answer wrong, you're actually answering right.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Like if it's a history question, how far off of history can you get with your answer from the true story from history?
Exactly.
Same thing with science or whatever the category is. Early explorers. It's just how good are you at bullshitting in the opposite direction of the truth?
Yes, and that's that would be a really fun game show, I think.
And because we're kind of – that's our specialty kind of. So if our Patreon members got the hang of it as well, then we would be the perfect judges for that because that's all we do.
Yeah. I mean, half this podcast is absolutely about absolutely nothing.
Right.
It's made up stories of just shit that didn't happen, and this goes to the extent of just out of controlness.
Yes.
Out of controlness, a new word I've been working on.
But it's a good word. I like this concept. You know, we have to work that out.
Yeah, we still have to work. I mean, listen, I got tequila. I'll tell you what. I like being vodka drunk way better than tequila drunk.
Well, you're like me. I get tequila drunk. Tequila drunk always affects a person emotionally, either with anger or sadness or overwhelming love. Like it takes whatever emotion is, if it's an equalizer, your emotional levels, whatever is peaked a little more than the others that particular day, tequila grabs hold of it and gives it a giant wedgie. It pulls it up to your neck and says, go, go, go. That's what tequila does.
This is what tequila does to me. It's like I'm Bob from La Bamba.
Not like I expected. You are not like I expected. I don't have a life here. Always gone. Hold on, do you think I like being here alone?
Look, Rosie, you're not my wife, all right? Stop being such a drag. Hey.
That wasn't the one. I wanted the one to be like, you know he's loved him more than me, or whatever, you know?
I remember the scene you're talking about.
I fucked it up, bro. But anyways, yeah, that's what, if you know about Bob from La Bamba, that's basically what happens to everybody when they drink too much tequila. And that's
true.
I didn't eat too much yesterday either. I was just on this shit working on things all day yesterday, and I just didn't eat much except for them cucumbers. And that really, you know, that's just water. It's crunchy water.
Yeah, it's just like you just ate a few ice cubes.
But it is pretty fun. Like, it's really fun. I enjoy setting it all up, like all the different cameras. I got, you know, had four cameras rolling.
Yes. It was cool. And, it was cool.
Yeah, it was fun. Erica cooking along. We had people cooking along. It was really awesome. I had a good ass time.
Yeah, it was a blast. It was a blast. Thank goodness for Clayton coming in, bouncing out a few bangers and a preview to a new song. Durant came on and talked food like a motherfucker. That guy, he can cook.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, he loves cooking. He that's why I was so flattered. He gave me credit for bringing him back into the cooking game at the beginning of the pandemic.
See? Shit's happening. Shit's happening.
Yeah.
The $20 Chef Show, we should embrace. Even if I just become a producer, I don't care. I'm getting old, Sean. I get less pleasing to look at on camera every year. The $20 Chef Show can really blow up. It touches people. When that guy said that, I'm like, see, this is what I'm talking about. That show, he loves it because the haters, fuck you. You don't have to be a chef, an actual chef, to do a great cooking show. All you got to do is touch people and be good enough at cooking that they respect what you're doing. And that's what the show's all about.
Yeah.
The dude from Green Day.
Oh, I don't.
I mean, the proof's in the pudding. You know?
Oh, man. Dude, yeah. It was just, that was pretty damn surreal. That's what kind of got me emotional. I was like, this was my first one. Look who pops in.
Yes.
Exactly. You know what I mean? After that, I was just like, I just got a little emotional. You know, I got a little emotional.
And just to get validation from something you've worked on for so many years, like the brand, you know? Like, it's working.
Yeah.
And I would say because plus of that whole Barstool whirlwind of fuckiness that you got caught up in, like, it's so much attention from that hate army got dragged away from even the show's about. It's like, you guys don't even, you're not even watching it, obviously, you know? You're just fucking watching a clip and picking out one thing and then being a dickhead about it. So I was glad to see it. Like, that show, we should that's something maybe we should focus on more, just production out the ass, figure out a way. Even if I got to come to New Jersey every fucking 2 weeks and we film a block of them or whatever, you know, and then get some.
Well, you know what? Yeah. Well, I'm going to be in Indy with you.
Yeah.
We got Florida. We're going to be together a lot this month. So we're going to be able to do a lot. Especially Jeff will be with us, our producer. You know, we got Jared has our back. So we got a nice little team finally come together, little Voltron action. And we just, you know, everybody's got their own strong suits and it's just fun.
Yeah.
And it's basically just based around food, drinks, and talking shit.
Exactly.
That's called willing exactly what you want out of life. Like, you will it. Like, you just, it's like, that's The Secret, right? That movie, The Secret, the documentary. Yeah. Quote, that's exactly what it is. It's like, this is what you want to do just bad enough that it just happens eventually. It just materializes.
Yes.
And that's what we're doing. I mean, between, you know, Here We Go, 1041, this, $20 Chef, just stuff we got coming up, race cars and Coral and fucking blowing up town, right? Dude, it's exciting.
Oh, now it makes me want to get you cooking with the fire department while you're here.
Again, yeah, we should definitely
really
do
good
that.
Camera crew. Go to the Lidl, set it up at a was there some
Lawrence? I did one in Lawrence with them. Lawrence,
yes.
FD.
Yes.
They let me in the truck and shit, put a hat on, did a lap.
See?
That was one of my favorite episodes, dude. That was they're all funny. The firefighters are funny, man.
That'd be, you know what? Maybe we can put you. Wait, all right. So you do it. We do a mega episode, right? It can be fucking full feature length, like ready for TV episode length. And it's a cop versus a fireman in a cook off. They have to cook alongside you. You're showing them what to do as you make it. They're each making their own fucking dish on the side. And then at the end, there's a vote off on who made the best dish.
I like that. Well, we'd be judges, you and me and Lytle or something like that.
Yeah. Because there'd be the fireman, and then you, the chef.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude.
Perfect.
This is perfect. All right, we're setting this up when you come.
Yeah, that's a good idea. A cook-off between the cops and the fire department.
I got a fucking cop, too, that's a good cook. He was a kitchen manager for years at Psalms here in Indianapolis before he became a cop. So, and he still cooks on the side a little bit. Boom. He's funny. Yeah. We'll put him against Lytle's pick for fireman.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
That'll be really fun, dude. That's going to be really fun. But yeah, no, that last night was so much fun. And I love doing it so much more when I'm like with you on it.
Yeah.
It's like I don't have to my brain can bounce off instead of just having to constantly juggle yourself and all this shit. You know, like completely worried only about you. You can like, it's just so much smoother and more fulfilling when we're rolling together on that live. Like when I'm doing just regular episodes, yeah, I'll do those myself because it's a 5-minute episode.
Sure.
But we're doing a 1 or 2 hour live. I mean, that's a long fucking time, bro.
Yeah, and I like it. And that's like mine and Jared's job to keep the audience engaged. So we'll just pull up comments every now and then for you. Throw them on the screen, tell you what they are, whatever. It's good. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah. And then the more we get do with this shit, you can just throw some more stuff on the screen. And my next move is my girl got me this sweet ass green screen that pops up real fast. It can stand up anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we could plan, like when I'm in the middle of cooking, I'm just going to go jump into the green screen and there's something back there that we, let me go into this other room real quick, you know, and it could be another country or, you know, in space, whatever I need, whatever the ingredients are.
Right.
Or if I need to go, like we just can think, you know, obviously the fucking sky's a limit with what we can step into a green screen and where it's at, you know what I mean? Where I'm at and then pretend that I'm there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
This just turned into a podcast business meeting.
Hey, we're workshopping over here.
This is the nuts and bolts, people. All right? This is a nuts and bolts episode.
It is. It is. I like it. We're getting a lot done. It's like we're knocking out a meeting and a podcast.
Yeah. Listen, somebody else said that last night. Somebody put that on a tweet, I think. They replied and go, hey, I loved it. It was alive. And then at the end, it turned into a business meeting. But also, if you're within a 7-hour drive of Kansas City, you got work to do this weekend. I mean, Todd's going to be at the Improv in KC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go, KC. I'm a little worried. Our people are a little, you're seeing this too. Our people are just, they're a little worried about COVID. They don't come out. Like, I don't blame them. You know, if you're worried about COVID, don't come out. I don't want anybody to come out and risk, you know, themselves in a situation they think they shouldn't be in. But if you trust that they do it safely, I will say I've never had any problem in any of those clubs during COVID, man. They take it so fucking seriously. It's regulated. They're social distancing. They're taking temperatures at the door. You know, you got to have your mask on anytime you move from your table. I think it's done pretty well myself, but you know, come out. It's still funny.
They're doing it. And I do get why people are like, we're at the home stretch before the vaccine's hitting here, you know? So they're like, I'm not going to get it now.
Right. Right before the vaccine.
You know. Yeah. Well, right before everybody gets their hundred million shots this year. Yeah. You know?
It's like getting shot as your last day on the job as a cop. You know, nobody wants to do that. Like your last day, don't go out. Just stay in the office. It's your last day.
There's actually a movie where a guy cops retiring and it's something. I think it's Michael Douglas or something. I can't remember what cop movie it is.
Yeah.
He gets shot and goes out. Actually, it wasn't Michael Douglas, but I know that I can see the face. But anyways, that's like, I used to have a joke where I was like, the worst time in the world to get shot would be like on the 28th of the month. No, on the 5th of the month. You get shot in the stomach. I'm like, bitch, I just paid rent. Could you shoot me on the 27th?
I remember that bit.
Yeah.
That's a good bit.
I forgot all about that bit. Yeah. I used to say, what are you going to do next? Repo my car after you watch me fill it up? That line, I only did that line sometimes. Mostly I'd get the laugh on the, I just paid rent. Oh, my bad, man. Let me help out here. Let me help you out. My bad, bro. I didn't know.
Yeah, it's so true, though. Like, you don't want fucking something bad to happen after you just, like, get me before I just fucking dumped all my money or whatever, you know? Like, that's always my fear is I'm going to go out in, like, the worst way possible. Like, I don't know. Like, be like right after I did something wrong and I get canceled on social media or something, and then I crash and die. Like, I don't even have a chance to, you know, live it up beforehand or whatever. I'm just going to go out in the middle of regret somehow.
Oh,
that's why I try not to do anything wrong.
That's like that, what's his name? The guy, Harry Weinstein type shit. You know?
Exactly. Like, Jeff Epstein.
Well, I guess it's a little different because we aren't doing dirt our whole life and then get like it'd have to be like a one-off, you know, like a cancer, like you drop some kind of word you shouldn't drop type thing on it or something like happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be pretty shitty.
we're pretty good people. So it would have to be like a bullshit Me Too situation where somebody took something out of context and you're like, oh, wait a minute. And then you crash before you can even explain yourself.
Yeah.
And you just go.
Yeah, it wasn't a legit Me Too. It was like a backdoor Me Too almost.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So Kansas City. That's a little seven. You're 7 hours from Kansas City. So that's like basically a gig at the house.
Basically, 7-8 hour drive. I'm just going to take it easy. When I get there, I get there. I mean, all I got to do is get up in the morning, do a little radio, and then make the day my own, you know? Dude, I'm going through footage of this documentary to cut for clips, and the job's a little harder than I thought it was going to be. I'll say that.
It's a lot of footage.
Yeah, a lot of footage, and you never know, like, for cutting clean, short little clips for, like, teasers and trailers, it's like – fucking, you got to have somebody say something and then stop clean. And then the next person say something to be able to cut it perfectly. Like, oh, he just said the perfect thing. Nothing's worse than going through like fucking 80 hours of footage. And then you're like, oh, yes, what he's saying right now is the perfect line. I need that for the trailer. And then boom, somebody steps over the top of him and is like, but what about dog shit? Don't you hate when he's stepping? You're like, God damn it. You just ruined the clip. You gotta go find
Yeah, because it's not an act, it's a documentary, so it's just live. You just
they're just following us with cameras, but it'll be cool.
You're better than I am, because I don't have the patience. I wouldn't be able to do it. I don't know how. It's that's the hardest part about editing, is going through all the footage. Obviously a guy who doesn't edit knows what's the hardest part, obviously, but
I know. And now I can remember like us filming some stuff and the film crew going, can you guys just stay on topic? Like, what, you know, we're like, wow, man, we're just free flowing here. And he's like, yeah, because you don't have to fucking edit the movie. Like, you're just giving me a bunch of bullshit we're not going to use.
As a creative brain, you're like, this is going to be gold.
Right. Yeah. All you need is one little golden phrase out of this fucking hour and a half I'm going to talk.
What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say, how is the lady and everybody there? Everybody's good. Did they enjoy the chicken noodle soup, the Mexican chicken noodle soup?
Well, my lady has a serious tooth situation unfolding, so she's been to the dentist a couple times this week. So she's not doing too much eating, or at least enjoying eating. She's been eating some Jell-O, a little bit of stuff here and there, but she's not feeling good at all.
I gotta go to the dentist. You know,
Colin and Cassie are good.
I gotta go to the dentist.
I just went I just went when I was there.
Yeah, I gotta go. I haven't been in a long time. I'm gonna go there, and they're gonna be like, "Oh fuck, we got work to do." That's my worst fear. But I gotta go at some point.
You gotta take a headset with you, bro. You gotta take the headset.
Yeah, just listen to a podcast. Whether
I'd say louder music.
Yeah,
some sort of music that doesn't stop, because podcasts you'll be able to hear it too much still.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I think that any kind of drilling, like I the first time I forgot them, and I was like, fuck. And then I went back again when I was in Indy last time, and I took them, and I were on full blast. I mean, I don't want to hear any drilling on my face, dude.
Can you not just ask them to knock you out? Like, I'll pay for it, man. Just fucking put me unconscious. The dentist never wants to put you unconscious. And I'm like, it would just be so much easier if you just knocked me out for the next 2 hours and then woke me up when you're done, you know?
That's ideal. That's the ideal thing.
I just want to
go
to sleep.
Just do one of them out, bro.
Yeah. I don't know why. Maybe it's a liability thing to worry about. Maybe if a couple people died, you know, because I don't know. Some people get fucked up by anesthesia, but I'm all for just knocking me the fuck out. Or there's a sea animal that if you touch it, it paralyzes you. They always use it in movies. There's like a spongy. Oh, there's some kind of sea life. This is when we need Jared. He's at work right now. But there's a like a sea urchin or some kind of blowfish thing or something that they always use in movies. Like it paralyzes you, but you're still awake. Like that. Is one of my worst nightmares. Whenever I see that element in like a horror movie or something, when you know you're just there and the dude's going to be cutting you up and you can see it and hear it, but you can't feel it.
Can't do shit about it.
Yeah.
You can't move.
What movie am I thinking of where that happened? Maybe it was I think it was an episode of Dexter. I think he did that to one of his victims. But the thing is about Dexter's victims,
I think so.
They really deserved it.
They deserved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they deserved it.
So I was like, oh, good.
Everybody Dexter killed deserved it.
That show jumped the shark.
That show jumped the shark, though, when the sister was on board with the murdering. You're like,
Thank you.
She was the biggest goody two shoes, number one cop in Miami type shit. She was ready to go right to the Department of Justice and move up the ladder, like type fucking, you know, Robert Mueller squared away type shit.
Right. And now she's okay with her brother being a serial killer. Jesus.
Murdering people. Come on. Helping with the bodies. Fuck off.
It ruined it. Like, it was so much better when he had to hide it from everybody, especially her.
Yeah.
Like, it added so much more tension. And now all of a sudden she's on, I guess in the book, she's like fully on board, like actually helping him. That's what somebody told me, but I don't read books, so I don't really care.
Shorty can't eat no books, dog. It's my favorite quote in the movie Belly. Shorty can't eat no books, dog.
People get my friends that read all the time are always on me. They're like, "Well, you got what do you read?" I'm like, "Because it ruins the movie every time. Like, if it's a good book, it's going to become a movie at some point, and you're going to ruin it for me."
I remember the first time I read a book and watched a movie. That was the movie The Client. I read the book on one of the trips I went in my, my mom had a boyfriend for a while. I was a truck driver. He'd go from L.A. to South Carolina, you know?
Uh-huh.
So in the summer, I'd just hop in with them and we'd just go. I'd go back to hang out with my friends and I used to live with in South Carolina. And I decided I was going to read a book and I read The Client and then I watched the movie and the book was better, man. That's the only time I can ever say. I was probably like 14 or something that I actually read. I read the book. So I have to wait for someone to bust out an obscure reference of the movie The Client before I can fucking go, the book was better. Fucking asshole.
But it ruined the movie for you. You couldn't even enjoy the movie because the book was better. That's what I don't want to happen to me. I want to enjoy my movies.
Yeah.
I don't
care.
So
that's it. You know what? You don't need to I don't need to spend hours reading a book. I'll watch the movie. It's a nice condensed down version. Okay?
It's why I never read the Bible. I enjoyed The Last Temptation of Christ way more than most people did when they saw it in the movie theater because I didn't know the ending. I'm the only person in the movie theater who doesn't know that he dies back and then comes back.
Hey, wait, that movie is part two after Easter?
It should be, right? The sequel?
Is that
Last Temptation of Christ? He's back.
I never watched that movie.
That was the Mel Gibson one, I think, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were speaking, like the whole movie was subtitled because they were speaking whatever Bible language they spoke. It was like Aramaic or something.
Hardos, just speak English. We get it.
Come on, Jim Caviezel, just have him speak English, you know, whatever his name is. Mel Gibson. By the way.
Ride for him.
What ride? We've talked about it a lot, but there's two dudes who I think are wearing their old age well right now, and I think it's Mel Gibson and Kevin Costner. They both look like tough dudes, tough old dudes. They're old and gray, but they still play badasses pretty well in movies. And
yeah,
I think that's a gift. Like a lot of people, like I'm trying to think, Bruce Willis looks, he's still like trying to stay young, right? He keeps shaved. Yeah. I think they put a pretty good filter, a lot of makeup on him to make him, and they don't put him in, like he plays smaller roles now. And, but I think when you can be Kevin Costner or Mel Gibson, like, fuck it. Look how old my fucking face is, dude. I'm a badass. And you still can carry the movie. That's something special because you can ride that shit out.
Yeah, you can. Clint Eastwood, you can go all the way into the streets, bro.
Stallone looks like he's melting. Yeah.
You know, Mel Gibson, though, I mean, that Santa Claus movie where he just murders everybody and all that.
I like the fat granddad bod, like, but he's still got kind of big arms. He still looks like he can fucking knock you the fuck out if he hit you right.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I like that look.
A murder spree with a sledgehammer, right. No problem.
I don't.
That's what I looked at him and I thought.
I know. I don't like watching Clint Eastwood now, like in the movie The Mule. Oh, he's too old. I don't like it. Like, he was my hero, and I got to watch him be old and feeble like that. Oh, I don't like it. It's just like watching, watch his name on College Game Day. God love him.
Lee Corso?
Yeah. I feel bad. Like, when I watch it, I just feel bad.
Lee Corso's that old now?
Yeah, he gets lost.
Is it, that's who I was, oh, he does?
Yeah, the old Notre Dame coach. Yeah, Lee Corso.
Oh. No, that's not Lee Corso. Lee Corso is not, not. You're talking about the old school coach, the old white dude.
Yeah. His name, what am I thinking of on College Game Day? God damn it.
All right.
I always said Pat should replace him. But I'm going to look it up.
Lou Holtz.
Lou Holtz. No, not Lou Holtz.
Pulled it right out.
No, nope. College Game Day guy. Here, I'm going to put an old guy on College Game Day.
Is he the big guy? Is he a big boy?
No. He's an old, feeble dude. Old guy on College. Yeah, Lee Corso. We were right. Lee Corso.
Oh, okay.
So he's kind of like, he's had a stroke a couple times, you know, so he... Shit doesn't work exactly right. He gets lost, and you always see that, you know, watch his name's always like pointing to things on the paper for him. Like, I don't want to see that. I love that dude. He was awesome for so long. I don't want to see you in your declining years. So I don't want to feel bad when I watch College Game Day, you know? Like, same way with Mel Gibson. I don't want to feel bad or Clint Eastwood. I don't want to feel bad when I watch your movie, Clint.
That's the good thing about being Sylvester Stallone, that you speak so slow that even when you're 80 and you talk like this and just used to it. That might be the worst impression of Sylvester Stallone history, but it was the slurred version, guys. Okay? It's the slurred version.
That last movie, you know? Hey, quit trying to human traffic my niece. And he just goes there and fucks people up.
Not human trafficking my niece. Yeah, if it already didn't happen, even though this plot happened in a similar movie, I would say, I don't know who you are, but I will find you, and I will kill you.
There's something weird about, like, you looking that old, like you're melting, but then also look like you can still bench press 380 pounds. Like, there's something weird with that, you know? This is why 72 years old or something? Back it down, just... I don't know, one way or the other.
You know what's funny is I also read a made up statistic that Sylvester Stallone, if you calculate the amount of lines times the amount of movies, the number will be lower than anybody else on how many words were actually said.
Oh, he is in his career. He has made more money in Hollywood per word than any other actor in Hollywood history, in movie making history.
I think at First Blood, he said, like, see, he had like one monologue after the colonel finally caught him down in the town, you know?
He drew First Blood, not me. That was like half the script. It was half of his part of the script. It was only that.
I just want to get some lunch.
They're all dead, sir. Not Cleveland. He made it out. Cancer ate him to the bone. Mom killed him. Never even knew it. Boom. He's done for the. Tell you, that's a wrap for Stallone this week.
He'll be in his trailer.
Yeah.
I love that, bro. That is so funny. Rambo 5, that one that threw me for a loop, but it was just like absolutely gory.
Yes, where he's just like in
nowhere.
He's in Vietnam.
You see heads flying.
Yes.
And guts. I was like, Jesus, this is a rough one.
He gets on that 50 cal, and it's just like people are just blowing up in pieces as he hits them. And then
see like guts flying and skulls.
And at the end, he like eviscerates that dude. He stabs him with his knife, and he runs it all the way across his belly, and his guts just pour out. Like, I was like, what the fuck? They really amped up this Rambo shit.
Yeah, they did, because that was a shocker. Like, people died a lot previously, but you didn't see the inside of the bodies as much, or the contact, the head splitting in half, or the bullets exploding people's necks.
Exactly. I mean, Jesus Christ. I don't know what got into him, if he was just like, hey, I just – like, he went to some movie seminar somewhere, and, you know, they have little booths where they show off new movie technology, and they're like, oh, here's our new exploding body – sequences we can do. He's I went that in my movie. You come work for me on Rambo 5. Like, fucking, I don't know what happens to people. But I guess you probably go through phases where you're like, I want to try this new shit. Like, I see movies where, you know, people are exploding the little pieces. Like, I've never done that in my movie. I should try to make a movie that's nothing but that.
You know? My favorite name drop story to do with Sylvester Stallone is my really good friend, James.
Mm-hmm.
He's a computer wizard, right? All things Mac, all things PC, all things streaming, all things coding, graphic websites, even hardware. He'll fix it all, right? Like, he's just the guy. And he used to be before he moved and got a job at Microsoft and now another company, but he used to be the freelance tech guy for A-List Hollywood.
Oh, shit.
So he had, you know, Steve Carell, you know, Cher's people, like fucking everybody, like even he had Stallone, right? And so and a lot of times people hire people just for the easiest shit. Like he right. goes, man, I feel it's like some days he would feel bad because he'd be like, bro, all I had to do was go over there and reset the router. They just didn't figure it. I had, because he had like a base rate of like $150 hours just to show up.
Sure, yeah.
Or some wild shit like that, like 300. I don't know what it was, but you know, he can't control what they're calling you over for.
Right.
Sometimes he'd have to go for some A-list celebrity, go and buy him new computers and then switch over all the information for him. Right. Yeah. And then give them their hand them their new ones and wipe the old ones. So like that's what he would do for all these amongst a million other things.
You know what I never thought about too? You really like if you're super famous, you need a guy like that because like people probably all constantly try to hack you. Because if it can get like family photos on the beach or something, those are worth fucking big money to TMZ, you know? So yeah. But then that's funny that he just have bullshit stuff too. Like, I can't, my computer won't work. Oh, well here, you have to hit the power button and then here's $300.
Yeah, exactly, dude. For like 40 minutes, you know, for just getting there and back.
Yeah.
And you just go there, turn on a laptop and turn off. But he used to do stuff for Stallone. And he ended up one day, he started talking and they're hanging out. And Stallone's like, bro, they start talking about Creed 2, bust out the script. And they're working back and forth through parts of Creed 2 before it was, you know, before it was made and all that.
Really?
The script was still being written. And he ended up going, come on, what can I give you? Like he had this cool souvenir closet of just stuff he gives people, like autographed gloves and things like that.
Yeah.
So he'd come back and he had this like awesome like Rocky gloves autographed by Stallone after going to transfer over his iPod library to another iPod or some shit. They end up working on Creed 2.
That's insane.
Yeah, that was one of the first ones he ever told me.
Holy shit. Can you imagine?
And Steve Carell's the only guy, the only A-list superstar that answers his own door.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because a lot of times the people aren't even there, right? Like it's assistants he's dealing with. And he goes like, nah, man, I went to Steve Carell's house and he opened the door. Hey, come on in. This is my family.
Nice. That's awesome, man.
That's pretty sweet.
That'd be a cool gig just to get to hang out with celebrities like that.
Yeah, he's the one who got me. I mean, like everything I know about computers or anything I can do is all basically through him.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool, man. I always wish I would have went to school for computers. You always have a leg up. Like even if you're not working in that field, everything's with computers. Like all the cops I knew that were really good at computers, that's what they went to school for, whatever, fucking got promoted so fast, dude. They didn't, you know, it's like because nobody, it was just we're a bunch of fucking monkeys basically as cops, like banging on keyboards like, we don't know how to work shit. And then you get somebody in here who's really good, he fucking owns the place all of a sudden. Yeah, it was sick.
You were a computer guy at the end, though. When we lived together, by the way, yesterday was our 5-year anniversary from when we moved into our apartment.
I know. I saw the memory on Facebook. Noti. Yeah.
Yeah. 5 years flat yesterday.
Like we had just started setting furniture up in it.
Yeah, we were all happy. I was all nervous because I had weed in my room, and I'm like, I put Todd in a bad spot. All right, that's enough. Goddamn dog barking, bro.
She's probably a bird out there or something. She's protecting the house, bro.
Oh, I know why. I think someone's working on the house in the front, and she's just at the window.
Nice.
Hold on a second, bro.
Ari's, by the way, for those listening, Ari is a Minpin. So she looks just like a Doberman, but she's tiny. Like a little bit bigger than a Chihuahua, maybe, but there she is. Oh, those watching on video can see.
She's a, She's a watchdog, bro. She like, if anybody that she don't know comes around the house, that's the only time she barks. She never barks.
And in her spirit, she is a full grown, full blown adult sized Doberman Pinscher.
Yeah, she's an absolute sap. She was not scared of anything, bro. She'll go bite at a fucking tractor.
She's a good puppy. She's the perfect snuggle monster, though.
Oh, yeah. My girlfriend, I mean, my fiance is just like, they're like, she's basically stolen my dog from me because they're just like best friends and they're just nonstop. That dog follows her around more than me.
Yeah, dude, I loved laying on the couch. Like when you were out of town or whatever, traveling, she would lay on the couch in the fold of your leg behind your knee. And it's like, it's comfortable.
And she puts a little head right there.
Yeah.
So she can see what the fuck's, she can still see what's going on.
What are you watching? Oh, you're jumping on football? Okay, cool.
Yeah, man. But I want to get another dog. I want all the dogs.
I know. I wish I had a ton of them again, but I don't know how I'd take care of them when I travel.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it'd have to be rich. Harder. And
bring in like
the big rat. Yeah, if you don't have like, if you don't have a friend that doesn't mind watching them, those kennel bills will rack up, bro. A week for like $500.
Oh yeah, yeah. You might as well have child kids. Care. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's different, of course, because you're going to like work harder to find the, you know, really good people if it's a dog versus childcare, but it's kind of the same thing. It's close to the same price. Like you're going to care way less. I would be more concerned about my dog being in good hands than my kid, I think.
Mm. Yeah. kid. Hey, the kid needs to take some licks to become a stronger person. You know
what
I mean?
That's right. It'll build character.
It's a doggy. I feel like I had a dog sitter when she was littler. I feel like a dog sitter hit her.
Oh, really?
Because she had a mark above her head one time, and I was like, I don't know, maybe it was the other dog there snipped at her. But I have a feeling since that lady used to hit my dog.
Ooh, let me find out you did that. I don't care if you're a lady or not. I'll roll up a magazine, smack you on the beak with it. How do you like
you
that
know,
on your snout?
That's funny because when Ari was a puppy, and I was living in this one-bedroom apartment in Long Beach, you know, and I was barely getting by, and This one homie and his buddy, they needed a place to stay because they wanted to move to LA. And I was like, all right, well, you know, move here for a month or whatever. You guys can give me a few $100 each. It'll help me pay rent because I'm a little bit down right now.
Right.
And then you guys get, you know, give you a month landing pad to go find an apartment and scram, you know?
Right. Yeah.
It turned into a few months, bro. And this guy, and they're just like, I had no privacy. They're just on my couch every morning. I wake up, there's two motherfuckers in there, you know? But I was nice, whatever. It was a little one bedroom spot. And Ari was with me. And I'm assuming that dog did. Shh. I'm assuming that that he must have hit her or something because she's never done this to this day, never did it before. Then she chewed, dude. She just mauled his glasses and just chewed the fuck out of homeboy's glasses. And now he got so pissed off, he finally moved out. That's when he moved out. And I was like, thanks, Ari. But
he must have been a dickhead to her for sure.
Never once has she chewed anything like that. Like, I would choose a puppy. A couple shoes took a dive, but
yeah,
you know, nothing like, you know, glasses, bro. It's fucking, he goes, look at my glasses. I was dying inside. I was like, that's hilarious. That's what you get for fucking milking 1 month into 3.5, buddy.
Yeah. You know, Ari's like, look at this motherfucker still in my couch space. I'll fix this shit. What do you got that's valuable to you? Oh, nice. Yep. Let me chew that and
I'll
eat nothing.
Those. I'll smash up your fucking glasses because you're an asshole.
I love that move.
Yeah, that is.
Remember, I miss being able to walk to fun. That's the one thing about that apartment, that we could walk to so much shit when it was warm out. Just walking to whatever bars and restaurants we wanted, bro. Like, I miss that. I kind of think I want it. Like, I like having a house
and
in the backyard.
Chick-fil-A.
Oh, and Chick-fil-A for those hangover days, those mornings. Shoo, the chicken biscuits.
Damn. Oh.
I think I want to go back to that style of living at some point. Like, if I can just find a little place in town, like, where I can just walk around. Like, I see these places in, like, northern Indianapolis and Carmel, and then there's some places in Louisville. Other cities I've seen, you know, you just get a nice little downtown townhouse or whatever, and you got all that shit within walking distance. I think I might be able to trade in the Big Backyard Life one day for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no worries. Don't have to mow, none of that shit. Like, I think I could get back to that. I don't know. It's either that or I'm going way out in the country. One of the two. I'm no more in between, I think, for my next move.
I think that I need to have the yard. I need to get that fulfillment. And then after a while, see if I want to move. Because I know, like, my girl, she'll do either. Like, she's like, all right, we can get a yard and a house, or we can go and get, like, a condo with, like, resort-style living or whatever. The right. Door guy. You know?
Yeah.
I'm more like, well, let's do with a house thing. You know, I want, like, to be out. I want to get on that riding lawnmower. I want to cut your grass this summer, Todd. That's right. What I want to do.
Well, and I will say the backyard entertaining is the best.
Yeah.
Like, that's nothing beats having a bunch of friends and homies over in the backyard, drinking, cooking out at night, build a fire. Like, that's the best thing in the world. So, you're probably right. That would be hard to lose. Especially.
Yeah, because then you start. And you're a guy with a garage. You got a lot of stuff in your garage, bro. You're a garage guy.
I know. A lot of that shit's going to end up in a dumpster here soon if somebody doesn't get their happy ass back here to pick it up. That's all I'm saying.
we're pushing the threshold because there's a new relationships have formed. And
Maybe new
trying
ladies.
Trying to be cordial here, but.
Don't like giant piles of old ladies' shit just everywhere they look.
I remember when we went ham and we just started cleaning out your garage.
We cleaned the fuck out of it that one time, man.
Yeah, we were looking for stuff and I kept on finding stuff to use in the fucking shed bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. By the way, have we renamed it?
No, we'll just do that when you get here. And then I'll go get a sign to put over that.
Yeah, we got to get that new name up. Maybe the people of the podcast can submit names for the bar.
Oh, there you go.
The
right
Patreon
now.
Homies.
Yeah. Right now, DM any of the Guns Blazing accounts, but DM us with future names for the shed bar. I mean, it needs to be done. Right now it says he's shed, she shed on it, and that doesn't fly. No more.
Not no more. Not
no,
no more.
Not up in here.
Under... maybe you could just call it under new management.
I like that.
But that was so much fun. I can't wait to go sit there and have a beer with you at that thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, I'm ready. I'm over this fucking cold shit. I'm ready for warm weather. It's gonna
Florida.
Feel so good in Florida. Come on, it's gonna be tough to leave, to be honest.
I'm almost like, I'm ready. I think I'm at the point in my life, I'm ready to buy a gig box, bro. I need a box where I put my lights and gear in and my cornhole gear, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I might be at a point where I'm on Amazon looking for a gig box.
One you can travel with or just where you store everything at home? Oh, okay.
No, I want to travel with her.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I thought about that too, because you can get those big Pelican cases with the foam inserts and you can cut the shapes out of the foam exactly to fit your shit. I've thought about looking at that myself, because that way I'm not afraid to stick it under the belly of the plane, because those things, you can bounce them around. It doesn't matter.
Yep. And I mean, I got the camera with me on me. It's not like I'm putting the camera gear in the box. It's just the other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Listen, we're big live streamers now, guys. Okay, welcome back to the Live Streamer Podcast. Actually, we're going to sit here and wait. We would love for everybody to go to a different back out of this right here, head over to YouTube, and subscribe to the Guns Blazing Podcast.
Why are you not subscribed? Let's go. Dude, we're putting clips up like motherfuckers. We have live shit popping off now. Like, it's a legit YouTube channel, and then soon we're gonna get crazy, do some fucking blowing shit up, shooting the stuff off of quads, whatever we can come up with. That's gonna be on there. Content from Florida at this ACL kickoff. I mean, come on, why are you not subscribing?
And you know, listen, it's just something you gotta do. You know, follow our social accounts.
Yeah, it'll make you feel good. It changes, you know, it'll change your day. Say you're having a bad day, you get on YouTube, check out some of the content, and it's going to make you feel better. It's kind of chill you out. You know, it's kind of like what 3Chi does, you know?
Exactly what I was thinking, Todd.
Right? And I'm talking about, of course, the industry leader in Delta 8 THC products. I mean, they're all They're all formulated by biochemists, Sean. We know that.
I mean, we're talking about a product made in the USA with USA-grown hemp, Todd.
That's what we're talking about. When they released these Delta 8 products, they were the first federally legal THC products sold in the U.S. since Prohibition started almost 90 years ago. Can you imagine? They're not even the industry leader. They fucking created the industry, bro.
Invented it. They are the inventors of the industry, okay?
Come on.
I mean, we're talking about guys that stepped up when something was needed, okay? They were the first ones since Prohibition 90 years ago. And guess what? Delta 8 is federally legal version of THC. That's what it is. People don't get it.
Thank you.
Federally legal version of THC.
Where the effects are a perfect hybrid of CBD and Delta 9, which gives it a similar buzz and all the medicinal effects of Delta 9 without all the fucking laziness, without all the fucking anxiety or paranoia or mental fogginess that you get with the Delta 9. Sean, I ate one of the gummies the other day.
How delicious are those gummies? Watermelon, holy, for the win.
For one, they are delicious. Two, mm-hmm. after, I don't know, like 40 minutes of taking it, it kicked in, bro. Like, these are legal. And I'm going to describe how I felt to people. You ever get like the world's best massage? And I'm not talking about one of those happy ending massages. I'm talking about like a true therapeutic deep tissue massage. And after you're done, you're just like sitting in a chair on the couch and you feel like you're floating.
Oh.
That's what happened to me. And I felt so fucking good. I just sat there. I watched Netflix. I was so relaxed and within my own thoughts for the day. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I knew you had taken it and you're like telling me that this shit really works. And I was like blown away. I'm like, I don't have to go, you know, it's not regular gummies, regular THC gummies, not legal here. I don't even have to worry about that. No. I don't have to worry about it being smuggled in through someone's anus before I take it.
Mm-mm.
I can get it legally over the internet. 3G.
There's no cartel members anywhere in the supply chain of this product, okay? And this is just what it is. This is the real deal. It's federally legal version of THC, okay? And here's the best part. My favorite part, Todd, is that it leaves me feeling amazing, yet functional, clear-headed. I'm not feeling lazy at all. I'm just feeling functional and clear-headed. That's my nickname around my house when I have 3G in my system. They call me Shawnee Functionals. I'm Mr. Functional, Mr. Clear-headed. How you like me now? That's what they say around my house.
3G's like a really good pizza. 3G's. 3G's Delta 8 is 100% hemp-derived, federally legal. That's what we've been saying, and available online at 3G.com. That's the number 3, and then CHI.com, and it's available at select retailers around the country. Maybe there's one near you. And how old do you got to be to get this, Sean?
You got to be 21 to purchase this, Todd. This is the real deal. This isn't a joke.
This is legit. I mean, it's like a casino. You got to be 21 to get in there. It's the same way with 3G. Don't mess around. I don't know if you're 20, this ain't for you. This is legit shit. I mean, it's great. It's a legal version of everything that we love about the Delta 9 product. So go to 3chi.com, the number 3chi.com, to shop for Delta 8 vapes, gummies, tinctures, and oils, and that can be used to make homemade edibles. So if you don't like, you like to make your own, boom, get everything you need to be able to do that. Legal and effective. The best parts of it without any of the bad parts.
And guess what? If you use the code GUNS, G-U-N-S, at checkout, you're getting 5% off.
What? Boom. Dropping deals. We're just dropping deals out of parachutes from planes overhead. You're like, shit, I don't know. I'm on the fence. I don't know if I can exactly afford it. Boom. Here comes a parachute with the word GUNS at the bottom. Drop that into checkout when you're done and receive 5% off your order. Come on.
It's the real deal.
All right.
Damn.
Go ahead and check them out on Twitter. Or Instagram or Facebook. It's at 3CBD for all of those. At the number 3CHICBD. They're all over the socials. We love them. This is the perfect product for us. And they keep coming back. So maybe they love us too. Probably because you guys are using the code. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Wow. I'll tell you, it really was a surprising product. I was like, because these things aren't normally going to work. Nothing ever works.
We've dealt with a lot of CBD products in our careers, right? Like a lot of sponsors of CBD. There's a million companies or whatever. This is a different animal, boy. I mean to tell you, and we know people that have used the code and got it that listen to the show and all report the same thing. Like, you almost wouldn't know that it's not the illegal code. Yeah. You know, you almost wouldn't know.
Yeah, you wouldn't. I'm all about them watermelon gummies. So yeah, that's what we're doing, bro. We're staying functional, clear headed, and comfortably numb around here.
Comfortably numb. I love it. That's what I want to name my boat when I get it. Comfortably numb. Love it.
That's a fucking nice. That's a really good saying.
It's a great saying. Oh, put it on a t-shirt. Hello. Let me write that down, Sean. I think we have our first catchphrase t-shirt.
Comfortably numb.
Look for that on the store soon. Damn.
I'm excited for your weekend, though, Todd, in Kansas City.
It's going to be fun, dude. I'll find me a little barbecue while I'm there. You know, I think I went to Joe's last time. There's another good one, too, people said. So
tweet, if you're in the area, tweet Todd the best places to have barbecue in KC.
Mm-hmm.
Todd needs help.
Love that.
And
Kansas
that's where
City
you guys
barbecue.
Come into play.
I can travel with the 3G, too, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's federally legal, Todd.
Oh, my God. That's going with me for sure. For sleepy time.
Lucky.
Lay down, watch a movie. Mm. I miss the hotel life. That's one thing I figured out. Like, I miss – it's going to be good to do this little bit of travel and then go where Airbnb. And I miss Airbnb and hotel life.
You know what I like? I like not having to make my bed and clean.
Yeah. It feels so good.
You just come
good.
Back. You're good to go. I'm just
borrowing this shit right now. I don't care. I'll leave a towel on the floor. Oh, there's a little bit of butt juice on that towel, a little bit of brown wipe on there. I don't care. It's not my towel.
It's not my towel, bro. It's not my problem.
You guys take care
of this. Guess what? That's why they have those fucking those jail level washers and dryers downstairs that can do 56 loads at once. Okay? Get it down there. Clean it up.
You know what I was looking at the other day? All right, so last time I was in a hotel, my toilet backed up, right? And I had to call for them. And a dude shows up and he's just got a plunger. Like, I'm going to fix it with this plunger. And I'm like, dude, that plunger probably costs like $3. Why do you not put plungers in the hotel rooms? Like, you have one plunger for the whole hotel that you got to bring around? Like, people stealing the plungers? Is that an issue?
I would think aesthetically they don't want to see it in there, but maybe they're trying to cut costs back, because if you take 100 rooms, that's $3 per room. That's still only $300 to make sure that people don't have to fucking possibly wait for your slow-ass maintenance guy to show up and plunge my shit.
I know, right? Like,
I got an idea. Raise the room rate $1 to the 300 rooms for three nights straight.
I'll pay it just to know I have my own. You know what? Or maybe when I check in, give me option. Would you like a plunger for your room, sir?
Yes.
Sure. Okay, that's just going to be a $5 service fee. Boom, put it on there.
Done.
Drop it off for me. Done. I don't want to carry it up there because I don't know who's touched it before. But yeah, you can have it in my room. Give me the option, because if I have a real situation like that, there's nothing worse than just sitting there like, oh shit, there's water on the floor, you know, and having to wait for some dude 2 hours later to show up. I got it. You know, some guy barely
speaks my move
English.
Is.
He's gonna plunge my toilet, and I feel bad for him.
Yep.
What do you gotta plunge my giant turds that I left in there?
I don't need you. We don't need a third person involved here. We need me and the plunger, and that's it.
It's a my personal guy. Situation.
Just let me have the plunger, buddy. Come back for it.
Yeah.
I don't need you in here.
Just stand outside. I'll open the door and hand it to you when I'm done. Like, I don't want you having to plunge my shit. It's embarrassing.
That bar I used to work at, Dos Gringos, the birthday shots, we used to do them in a plunger.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, we had a separate plunger for the drink out of, and motherfuckers, we would pour whatever we wanted in it and then just hand them the thing, and they'd take a shot out of a plunger.
That's fucking a great idea. People would go nuts
over that.
Yeah, it
was called the donkey punch birthday shot, and then whatever the fuck you want to put in the shot. And then if it was a 21-year-old kid, then we would put Jaeger, 151, tequila, and milk.
And milk was it nasty?
Flash of cream. Yeah, it's absolutely fucking horrendous. But welcome to the club. You're 21, you know?
You're drinking it out of a plunger. Now, it's supposed to taste like shit.
And drinking out of a plunger.
Yeah.
Because there's two types of friends that take you out of your 21st. The ones that want to ruin your day, but like in a funny way, but like give you stupid shit to drink. And some that just want you to go out and get lit for real.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. Like most people, I think, are wanting that story of, dude, you were so fucked up. You threw up all over the Uber driver. You know, something, some crazy story that they want to keep over your head for the rest of your life. You know, like most friends are rooting for that so that it's going to get you fucking annihilated. I remember my son's 21st birthday. That was the plan. Of course, he's super responsible, usual Bailey. And he ended up having to walk me home. Like I got fucked up. The stories were about me. He had to take care of me all night on his 21st birthday night out.
That's hilarious, bro. It's also a celebration for the dad. I mean, you made it this far, his son. You got him there. You know, you got him to 21, bro.
Yep.
And it's a level of responsibility that most kids just don't have.
True. There's that thing where you're just like, okay, he's still alive and he's a productive member of society. Let's go. Let's get fucked up.
Yeah.
And I did. Hardcore.
That's beautiful, bro. Oh, man.
Well, buddy, this has been a fun one. Everybody should know to watch. Go right now. Follow us on social media if you're not. Please. There is a lot of cool stuff coming very, very soon. Between the Florida trip and Sean coming up here, there's going to be some craziness happening, some really awesome stuff for us, and it's good. We've been kind of buckled down. Our Sean and I's new career started during a goddamn global pandemic. We've been handcuffed.
Yeah.
And now the handcuffs are starting to come off.
Oh, I'm so excited, bro. Hit events, do stuff.
So watch the fuck out. Follow us on social media at Guns Blazing Pod on all of them. And maybe check out the Patreon and the website. See what else is on there. Get a little merch. Look for the Comfortably Numb shirt to pop up soon. All right, brother. Love you.
Later, brother. Love you too, homie.